Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, OMG, I'm freaking out, where we are bugging out about working out. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 109. Hi, Shauna.
Hey, how's it going? Wait, you're supposed to ask me that.
I am about to ask you that. It's your turn to tell us how old your toddler is and what's been going on with you guys this week.
Okay, so Cece is 18 months and 3 weeks, and I have an eczema update.
Oh, yeah.
I know, yeah, a while back I talked about how I was just like struggling with her eczema and cut out dairy and all this stuff, and I got a lot of great advice from listeners. People wrote in struggling with the same thing and got a great advice about shampoo to use. So I started using the Cetaphil, like gentle baby wash with calendula in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's been great. And a couple other products. And she's been clearing up and doing great. And so I was like, you know what? Let's just try dairy again. Let's introduce it, you know?
Because yeah.
The doctor didn't necessarily think it was a great idea. And
Didn't think it was a great idea to cut it out in the first place.
Well, I don't think he thought it was a bad idea, but he was like, I don't think necessarily the eczema is related to dairy. If she did have a dairy allergy, she would have like irregular poops and, you mm-hmm. know, cutting dairy is hard. So why don't you reintroduce it? So that's what he said to me.
I just wanted to make sure that he wasn't thinking it was a bad idea to reintroduce.
No. He thought it was a good idea for me to reintroduce.
Great.
Yeah. But I had been holding off on that. So she got nice and clear. Her skin was looking great. Mm-hmm. And one morning I was getting milk for Elle and Cece was just like, milk, milk, milk. I'm like, I didn't even know you realized what that still was anymore. I thought that was like a long gone memory. But I was like, okay, let's just try it and see. So I gave her a cup of milk and everything was terrible.
No.
So I've also been thinking that maybe the dairy has been contributing to her like night screaming mm-hmm. terrors, waking up and writhing and all of that, right?
Yeah.
And she has been doing really well with all of that too. Well, the night I gave her that cup of milk, that night she woke up with one of those mm-hmm. screaming night terror things that took ages to end. Side note, the funny thing is I went in to try to comfort her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was holding her, you know, being really calm and patient. And she's screaming and writhing in my arms. And I'm holding her for like 20 minutes. And Steve comes in and he's like, do you want me to try? And I'm like, no, I got this. I can do this. And I did it for like 5 more minutes. Then I'm like, all right, why don't you try? And I handed her to him and she immediately was quiet.
Oh, come on.
I know. I was like,
of course. It was probably just the timing.
It was just the timing. I did all the hard work, all the legwork.
You sure did. You loosened the lid, you know, when
yeah.
you have like a tough jar to open.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I banged it on the counter.
Ran it under some hot water.
Yeah. So that happened that night. And then the next day, she just got broken out with, you know, bad little patches of eczema in those same spots. And so I'm like, you know, she doesn't love it that much for me to keep this experiment up.
Yeah.
It's fine. So I just stopped and we're back to no dairy. And she drinks almond milk sometimes mm-hmm. and mostly just water and like juice, honest juice with less sugar. And that's it. So I'm kind of bummed because I was really hoping I'd be able to like give her string cheese for snacks
yeah.
and yogurt and everything. But I'm still going to keep holding off. For now.
Well, there are also people who like can't tolerate straight milk, but cheese and yogurt are fine because they're, you know, the proteins have been altered, you know, by the process of making cheese. And, you know, like for some people who are really lactose intolerant, they can still have Parmesan because it's a hard cheese and it's aged for a gazillion years,
uh-huh.
as opposed to, you know, fresh mozzarella, which is basically just curdled milk, you know, like
yeah.
a little bit. So there might be a time where she's okay with yogurt because the good bacteria in the yogurt might actually help her digest it. So, you know, I don't think it's like the rest of her life she can't have anything that has any dairy in it. You just might need
right.
to sort of do a little trial and error and see. And you might want to look up sort of what people who have dairy intolerances do, because I know uh-huh. that there is like a gradient, like things that are worse than others. So maybe
yeah.
when you decide to reintroduce, you can start with that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense to me, though, because I am somewhere on that spectrum myself. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot eat brie cheese.
Oh, interesting.
Because I get, I'm not going to go into detail, but it's super sick. Like, it's mm-hmm. just really, really bad. But yet, like, I can eat cheddar cheese all day long mm-hmm. and be fine. And I don't know. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, they're different. They, mm-hmm. the proteins are all arranged differently, as far mm-hmm. as I know. So,
wow.
Not all dairy is created equal.
I guess so. That's the takeaway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're still working on that. But she's overall doing better with the eczema. You know, I think that's we've good. Got a nice rhythm with how we take care of her skin. And uh-huh. and I learned, like, what eczema is exactly, which I didn't really realize.
Uh-huh.
Basically, young babies and toddlers tend to have it more. So basically, the role of skin, healthy skin, is to retain moisture and protect mm-hmm. you from bacteria, irritants, and allergens, right? I'm getting this information from mayoclinic.org. And eczema is a, quote, a gene variation that affects the skin's ability to provide this protection. So what I read in another article is, like, young babies and toddlers are more prone to having, like, either thin skin in that area, or their skin in those little areas aren't as able to protect from the irritants and stuff. So mm-hmm. they get in more to your skin at that in those places. That's where they flare up. So a good way to combat that is to keep them moisturized, which was always so weird for me because I feel like I've heard from everybody, like, you don't need to moisturize baby's skin. Baby's skin is perfect.
Oh, really?
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't know why or where I heard that, but that was kind of the message I got, like, with Elle especially. Like, it's not necessary. Don't do it. And so now I'm just like, I have to do it for Cece because that moisturizer gives that, like, protective barrier in those mm-hmm. areas that can't do it themselves yet. Hopefully she'll grow out of it, but we'll see. Okay, and then, so that's that. Just a couple cute new things she's doing, which I love. First of all, she has picked up on my family's massive propensity to say the phrase, uh-oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh, you know, the cup falls on the floor. Uh-oh. And so she says uh-oh all the time. Like, she is so, so tuned cute. In to what's wrong, what has fallen, right? It's like, and the way she says it's funny. It's like, uh-oh.
Really dramatic.
Very dramatic, like two separate words. And, like, sometimes, like, we go walking in the cul-de-sac and she's like, uh-oh. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's like, it's garbage day and the garbage truck had, like, knocked over one of the green mm-hmm. cans of mm-hmm. a neighbor. You know, it's not standing upright. It's like, yeah. Uh-oh. So she's really right now just tuning into things that are not right.
That's very sweet and funny.
Yeah, it's very funny. And then, like, your guy last week, I think, said his first sentence. Mm-hmm. Cece said her first sentence, which I was kind of training her to say, which is, Mama, help.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You have been working on that.
Yeah. For a while, it was just Mama, you know, calling. And now she knows that help means, you know, I can assist her. So, Mama, help. Mama, help. So those are, like, two huge phrases in her life right now.
That's amazing.
Oh, Mama, help.
For Mama, help, how many times a day do you hear it now?
Oh, gosh. Tons. I mean, yeah, probably a few dozen. And it's for anyone, if I'm not around, you know, and she needs daddy's help, it's still Mama, help.
Mama, help. It's always Mama, help.
Yeah. Yeah. Mama, help. So, yeah, so that's pretty much our week. It hasn't been bad. It's been fine and nice. And she's just a little cutie pie.
That's awesome.
What about you guys? How are you guys doing? How old's your toddler?
We're good. So my toddler just turned 18 months at the end of this week. Yeah. And so I think right on schedule, he's hitting that 18-month sleep regression that you warned me about. And thankfully, you warned me about it because I had heard that the sleep regression was a thing, but I didn't connect it. Like, I hadn't heard about the separation anxiety aspect of it until we talked about it on the show, and it saved me because I knew that, you know, the first day it happened, it's all around naps too, which I think was really interesting. There was just one day all of a sudden where he just refused to nap completely, and he hasn't done that in so long, you know, not since he was an infant basically. And I was like, oh, here it is. 18 months on the dot, you know, like refusing his nap. And then the next day it was, you know, I put him down, Mama, 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 he needs more hugs, getting like three rounds of hugs in. Mm-hmm. And then the day after, and then he like took like 20 minutes to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, mama, more hugs. I gave him one more hug, put him down. And then when he's like crying for more hugs as I'm walking out, I'm like, I'm on to you. I know what you're doing. Like, you are fine. So, I would put him down and said, oh, you know, we had our snuggles. I love you. You're safe. I'll be watching. I'll be making sure you're safe. I'll be here when you wake up. And then I leave and he like, I think he cried for like 30 seconds after I left the room. And then he was like, oh, well, okay, she's not coming back, you know. So, thanks to the preparation you gave me, I think we handled it fairly well. There was one middle of the night waking. It was like 2 a.m. and he woke up crying. And he never does that. So we went in to check. I sent Corey in to check because I had a feeling. I was like, oh, this is the 18-month sleep regression everyone's warned me about. This is going to happen 5 times tonight. So I was like, Corey, you take the first one. Mm-hmm. So I sent Corey in. Corey checked to make sure his diaper was okay. It always, always is. Mm-hmm. And gave him some snuggles and put him down. And he went back to sleep. And that day he actually then slept until 8 a.m.
Whoa.
Which he usually sleeps till like 6:30 or something. So we were both like, all right. But he only woke up that one time, and that's the only middle of the night waking we've had. So
that's good.
Got off easy. And all he wanted was snuggles. I thought that if I went in, he'd be like, boo, 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 you know?
Yeah, I think that was a good move sending Corey in.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Corey might. Corey, he's a champ. He doesn't mind, but, you know.
That's good.
Took one for the team there. But
that's so interesting how similar like the nap situation was with Cece, right? It's like mama, like begging for more hugs and then kind of crying when you put him down. And it just reminded me that when we went to our 18-month checkup with Elle when she was a baby, the pediatrician was like, okay, 18 months, be ready for crocodile tears. And we're like, what do you mean? Oh. He's like, they know they can fake cry now to manipulate and get things. And so you'll start seeing like more fake crying and fake tears. And now that I think about it, like this whole little sleep regression might have been like that. Cause you know, same thing. Like I would give her all these hugs and then I would eventually set her down and she would cry and I'd be like, I'm sorry, I gotta go. And then as soon as I'm gone, she's basically like, nah, and then would go to sleep. I was like, oh, you're using those little fake tears to get what you want. I see, I see.
Yep. They're getting smart.
So smart. So smart.
So, but I was glad I had never read about this sleep regression being tied to separation anxiety. And it like makes so much sense when you connect that together. It's like, okay, now, so I can just reassure them. I actually have had to like talk through the monitor. Like when he was taking a long time to fall asleep for his nap, I finally had to be like, it's time to put your head, you know, I turn on the monitor thing. I'm like, it's time to put your head down and go to sleep. And he actually does it, which blows my mind.
Wow, that's amazing.
So it was right on schedule and, you know, not actually too painful. So I think that knowing that it was regression, knowing that it was separation anxiety really helped navigate it. If I had been sort of completely blind to it, I would have just been like, what's wrong? Is he teething? Is he sick? Yeah. Is he, you know, because it's such a change. He great sleeper and then all of a sudden doing this. So be warned, listeners. Be warned.
Be warned. Yes, that is definitely helpful.
So the other thing we're trying to do this week is I have decided I want to be better about cycling toys in and out of his play area. So I don't know. I feel like there's all these like childhood development experts that say that it's important to have like fewer toys available for your kids so that they like really engage with them. Not that having a lot of toys is bad, but that if you find that they're not engaging with your toys, it might be that there's too many rather than not enough. Right. So and I've definitely noticed that with my toddler. He just like there are just like certain toys that turn into blind spots for him, like this fidget board thing we have that he sometimes loves, but most of the time it just looks like furniture to him. I think it's like off to the side, or like any sort of bigger toys like this push and play thing we have that was sort of like helping him to learn to walk, but it has all these buttons on the front that I think could still be fun for him. But now he just sort of like just walks right past it.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of stuff all in the living room for him to play, which is sort of his, you know, safe yes space. I decided during a nap one day this week, like, I'm going to take like half of these big toys and hide them in our bedroom so that he can like focus more. And mm-hmm. I have to say, like, right away, it seemed to make a difference for us.
Good.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
I took, like, the Zany Zoo out. I took that big push toy out. I forgot to take the fidget board, so that's still just furniture in the corner for him. But and then I brought a couple, like, stuffed animals that were kind of at, like, the bottom of his stuffed animal hamper. That's how we were store the stuffed animals, because I have nowhere else to put them. Mm-hmm. And that he had just, like, hadn't seen because they had been buried for so long. Brought them out. And he, like, made a beeline for this one stuffed animal that he hadn't seen in, like, 6 months. And was just, like, playing with it. And, like, it has this little pull thing in the bottom that makes it vibrate. So, like, he was, like, kept pulling that and thinking it was really fun. So, yeah, I have high hopes about this rotating the toys in and out thing.
Good. That's awesome. Yeah, they definitely will lose interest quickly in things. Mm-hmm. I think it's partly just children, babies, short attention span. And
yeah,
sometimes some toys are just not as engaging. Our thing is we kind of have everything spread out. Like some stuff is in Elle's room, Cece's room, living room, family room, outside. So I'm wondering if maybe like the different, like cycling through the different areas might be like that for us. Cause yeah, I've never like put toys away and then brought them out later. I'm wondering if maybe I need to do that though. Sounds like a good idea. Yeah.
I mean, you have a garage, so
true.
You know, you actually have the opportunity. For us, it's like hiding it in the corner of our bedroom, which is usually off limits to him. So, I mean, we have a garage. It just does not have a lot of storage. So,
yeah.
But, you know, we're trying that. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
It may work for a long time or it may not work at all. But the immediate results are good. So,
good.
Yeah.
Well, keep on trucking.
Yeah.
And hiding those trucks.
Yeah. And then, so I had just one more very cute little update. Mm-hmm. Which is a new word for him, which is he now says, okay, but in a very sassy, funny way. So the way he says it is he goes, okay. So if you say like, hey, do you want it? Like, it's time for lunch. Okay. He goes, okay.
Oh my God. I need to see a video of this.
Yeah. I think we have it on video. We'll try to post it on the Instagram, but it's just really funny. And like, I'm like, where did this sass come from?
Wow. He's got some sass.
Okay.
I love it.
So,
okay.
Cracks me up every time.
Fun.
So that's it for me. Do you want to take a quick break and come back with our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week we have our special segment, OMG, I'm Freaking Out, which is an oldie, but goodie for us.
Yes.
And we wanted to bring it back. Laura, what have you been freaking out about this week?
Okay, this is actually from a few weeks ago, but I wanted to share because there was a full week where I was convinced I had a bug in my ear.
What?
Convinced. Let me tell you why.
What is happening?
Okay. So my symptoms, the reason this even happened was I started having like just dizziness, like kind of like vertigo, just like the room would kind of start spinning randomly, right? Mm-hmm. Which was distressing. And it would just come and go. And then I had this feeling of like fullness in my right ear. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I tried to do, you know how you can like blow through, like pinch your nose and blow and try to like pop your ears, like you've just been on a plane? I have to do that a lot because I have this issue called eustachian tube dysfunction, which basically means my like in my right ear, which is the ear this was happening in, it doesn't like the pressure doesn't equalize as well as my other ear.
Oh, okay.
And so sometimes I get like that feeling of fullness, but no matter how much I tried to like clear it, it wouldn't clear.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, this is a little weird, but not that weird. And of course I'm like, what's the dizziness about? Am I dizzy because I was like working in the office and I have two monitors and I was like switching back and forth between the monitors? Is that making me dizzy? And then I thought I felt something move.
Oh my God,
in my ear.
It's freaking me out.
And that's when I started Googling.
Uh-oh.
When you Google bug in ear, the results are horrifying, Shauna.
Oh, like what?
One of the first thing that comes up is this article from Self Magazine that's titled, "How Common Is It Actually for a Bug to Crawl in Your Ear?" And the answer is really fucking common.
What?
Yes. No. The article was like a spin-off article from the, like, a first-person essay someone had written about when a cockroach crawled into their ear and got stuck, which is apparently extremely common.
But
and
cockroaches are, like, big.
I think there's smaller ones, too.
Uh-huh. Maybe a baby one, I guess.
She said, this is horrifying, like, skip ahead if this really creeps you out. She said she put a Q-tip in her ear, and, like, when she pulled it out, there were, like, two little cockroach legs on it.
Oh, so gross. Good Lord. Oh.
And then they interview, in this article, they interview all these like ENTs and ER doctors who are like, oh yeah, people come in all the time. And so, some people don't even know, like they've had a bug in their ear for like months and they don't even know it or whatever. And it's just like, oh my God. And this has reminded me that once in my life, I had a really close call with this. I was camping in the Grand Canyon. I was a teenager and camping like out, you know, no tent, out under the stars. It was beautiful. And what we later discovered was a fire ant crawled into my ear canal, bit me, but crawled out.
Oh, ouch.
And that was really painful. I actually thought I was going to have to get like helicoptered out of the Grand Canyon because my, you know, I thought I woke up with a massive ear infection or something. My dad looked in my ear because we were on a trip together and he's a doctor and he's like, oh yeah, something really bad bit you. He's like, but it's not in there. He's like, I don't think it's in there anymore.
So this reminded me. Does he like travel with his otoscope?
You know,
something?
I think they had one in like the medical kit.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
He probably would travel with his otoscope, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, that's very much my dad's style.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if you said yes to that, but I was just curious.
My dad is, like, a vanguard of, like, personal medical devices. Like, he had a blood oxygen little monitor that you put on your finger way before anyone thought about getting them for like this COVID stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's had one for, but I don't know, I want to say a decade. Uh-huh. We used to play around with it all the time just to check. And, you know, he had an EKG adapter for his iPhone, like back like 6 or 7 years ago. Now it's like a thing on the iPhone or on the Apple Watch at least. But like, he probably would, like, as far as I know, he didn't actually have an otoscope there, but he might have.
So anyway, okay, so you've had a run-in.
This is all to say that I have some personal experience of a close call. So at this point, I'm like, shit, do I have a bug in my ear? Like, convinced. So I'm reading up on what you're supposed to do. And what they all say is, like, do not use a Q-tip because it could just push it in further, right? And what you should do is use like baby oil, mineral oil, or olive oil and pour it in your ear and like lay on your side and let it like, so the idea is that the oil will like push, like float the bug out.
Okay.
And then it'll come out and then you use like water to help like rinse, warm water to help rinse it out, right?
Okay.
So I got to dig out my baby's bulb syringe that I had for when he was a newborn. Because, you know, everyone has those bulb syringes for emergencies, right? I was like, well, this will work. Got some olive oil. Had my baby, like, in the bathroom with me as I, like, carefully put it in your ear, which is actually, like, very soothing, putting the olive oil in your ear. Thought it'd be weird, but it was, like, really nice feeling.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's just, I'm also the kind of person who likes a good Q-tip, you know? So maybe
me
that's
too, but I hate the feeling of water in my ears. Like if I'm swimming and get water in my ear.
But it's like a different viscosity, you know?
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, put it in. And then you're supposed to wait, right? So like my toddler is running circles around me as I'm like lying on the couch with
trying to float
a bug out. And you have to do it a bunch of times. And my baby's like, what the fuck are you doing, Mom? Needless to say, no bug floated out.
Uh-huh.
So after like like 3 days of trying, I finally convinced myself that like a bug would have floated out by now.
Yeah.
You know? But I still had the weird vertigo and like fullness. So I did more Googling and finally decided that it was the Zyrtec that I was taking. I was like, wait a second, what have I been doing differently? And like for the past like 2 months, I had been taking Zyrtec to try to deal with seasonal allergies. Mm-hmm. And I look up the side effects of Zyrtec and like dizziness is a common side effect.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And so I stopped taking Zyrtec. Uh-huh. The dizziness went away.
Wow.
The ear thing I realized was just my stupid Eustachian tube.
Uh-huh.
But it was like the combination of all these things like turned me into a paranoid wreck.
Oh my God.
And then I have one final thing to say about this.
Uh-huh.
Which is I had a very brief another freaking out because after I stopped the Zyrtec, I developed full body intense itching.
Oh, I was going to talk about this. Okay, let me hear your...
Okay, so you've gotten it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I have a little anecdote about it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to hear yours. Okay, because basically I just researched it and discovered it's a thing. But like, how did it happen with you?
So I have taken Zyrtec every day for a long time because I have bad allergies. Mm-hmm. And when I was pregnant with Elle, it was the same thing. I was just taking it every single day for allergies. And I went into the hospital and gave birth and was there for 4 days without Zyrtec.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't have any allergy medicine. And it hit me almost like one day after my last dose. And it was mostly in my face, like my face and my nose. It was like insanely itchy. And I was like, oh my God, I need a nurse to get me an antihistamine like immediately. And for some reason, this was like a hard thing for them to procure. Like, I didn't even think to pack it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a tip, by the way, for those of you who are going into the hospital to give birth, like, bring stuff like that, your Zyrtec. You probably have to tell your doctor or your nurses if you're going to take it, but they won't get like it's a hard process getting additional medicine for you. Mm-hmm. And if your husband or partner needs like an Advil because they're up all night trying to help with the baby, the hospital will not give them Advil. Bring your own pain medicine for your partner.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
this is something
we
learned the hard way.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay, I will never forget that. I was just like, that is crazy. And then, I don't know, I somehow Googled it later, you know, to try to put the pieces together. And apparently it's this crazy side effect of quitting Zyrtec is like just massive, massive itching. I don't know if it's like rebound itching or what, but
I thought I was going crazy. And then I found this paper from Therapeutic Advances in Drug Safety on like the National Institutes of Health website, right? And it's called Pruritus After Discontinuation of Cetirizine, which just means itching after stopping your Zyrtec, right?
Uh-huh.
Here's what it said. They identified 146 cases of pruritus after stopping Zyrtec. And it said the median patient age was 38 years. Guess how old I am.
That's how old I was. When this happened.
And cases were predominantly reported in females.
Weird.
Yeah. So it's not in our heads. There are websites like people discussing how crazy this is. And it's not in your head. It's real. But just like the bug in the ear thing, like once I knew what it was or what it wasn't for the bug in the ear thing, you know, I just dealt with the itchiness for a couple days and it went away. So
good.
Now I'm fine. There's no bug in my ear. I'm not dizzy anymore. And everything's golden.
Oh my God. Trying to parent while you're dizzy, full body itchy, paranoid that there is an insect in your ear canal has got to be crazy.
Well, and I just kept thinking, like, how am I going to go to the ENT? I've got this baby. It's like COVID times. And I don't want to see an ENT. And I don't want to get laughed out of the doctor's office. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel you.
But anyway, try not to Google bug in ear.
Well, now I want to.
Be warned.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, that was my OMG, I'm freaking out. Shauna, I want to know what you're freaking out about.
Okay. So I have been freaking out for a while now let me say this. We are in COVID times, as you mentioned, and my family is all staying at home. My 4-year-old's not going to preschool. My toddler, Cece, is, you know, home with us, not going anywhere. And we aren't going to like parks or playgrounds or anything. And so I have just been like really freaking out that they're not getting enough exercise at home. Just like, because
it's hard for you guys to go to parks and stuff because you're working, you're both working full time while trying to watch a 4 year old and a toddler full time.
Exactly. And yeah, let's be honest, parks are great for adults, but like for a 4 year old to just go to a park with just grass and trees, like we've done that a couple times, so she doesn't like get that much exercise. But if the playground were available, you know, she would run and climb and, you know, just do everything, and we could stay there for like 2 hours. And that is just not happening at home. And so I have just become this crazed, obsessed person trying to find ways to get these kids exercise, especially the 4 year old Elle, right? Mm-hmm. She has so much energy, and she was in a preschool that, like, half the day they spent outside playing on equipment and running and riding bikes. And remember, I used to be like jealous of her six pack abs. I mean, yes. This girl has so much energy. And I've started to see some downsides of just that lack of as much physical activity. It's not like we're sloths around the house, but she definitely has more TV time than she ever did before. And yeah, you know,
I think that's true for every child in America right now.
I know. And I think the reason it's really getting to me is I'm starting to see these downsides. So one thing, I've made a big correlation that when she doesn't get a lot of exercise or a good amount of exercise during the day, she wakes up in the middle of the night and comes and gets me for whatever reason. I don't know. But it's like when I really try my hardest to work her out, I guess, she sleeps great and sleeps through the night, and she's more rested, and then the next day is better and stuff. So, it's like one more thing on my plate right now. So
what are you doing to help get this kid moving?
Well, I am just spending too much money buying stuff online to try to motivate them. And I know that this conversation is super privileged. I'm lucky to have money to be able to like throw at this problem and buy things. A big reason is because we're saving a ton of money not having her in preschool right now.
Yeah, it's like the preschool budget is now going to the Amazon Entertain the Kids budget, right?
Truly, yes. And not even, you know, it's like a fraction of that. So yeah. I do feel okay about it. But so let's see, I bought a mini trampoline, you know, and
that has like the little handle.
And they both love it. It's great. But like things lose interest after a while. Like, oh gosh, what else could we do? So I bought her a bike with training wheels, and we ride bikes like one block, and then she wants to take a break. Oh my God, what else? I got her some new running shoes, because when we walk the dog, Sasha, she likes to like run with her. I got her a couple accessories for the swing set, like a ladder thing that you can climb. I'll do elaborate things with our kiddie pools, you know, I'll put a slide in the kiddie pool and then like make a splash pad out of a picnic blanket, like a waterproof picnic blanket. And they do expend energy, but like I said, it kind of like everything is like losing interest after a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do
to get these kids to exercise? Have you tried doing any like video exercise, you know, like YouTube kids exercise videos or anything like that?
Since
she loves her screen time?
Yeah, we tried yoga. And she loves screen time so much that all she wanted to do was walk up like 3 inches away from the computer screen and just watch it.
Yeah.
Just watch what they were doing. She didn't want to do any of the moves. Oh, my God. So I'm just like, I want her to be active and healthy and work out her energy. You know?
Need like a Wii or maybe a Switch. I guess a Nintendo Switch is like the current,
I don't know.
Video game. Well, so a friend of mine sent me a video of her toddler playing with their Nintendo Switch. And Corey has one. I've used it literally once, this one time when I tried to get my toddler to play this game. And it's, you can like put it in like a console and have it play on your TV, but you can also take it out and have it be a little handheld thing.
Ooh.
But there was this game that my friend's toddler loved, which was like the jump rope challenge. And you hold the controllers in each hand and you just have to like pretend you're jumping rope, and it's got these really cute cartoon characters, and then you get bonuses and change characters if you do enough jumps and stuff.
Okay, I guess I know what's just going in my option. Amazon cart, because I did buy her jump rope.
There you go.
She requested it, and it's very hard. You know, she needs to be a little bit older, I think, to really do a real one. So she got frustrated with that. But I think that, like, that kind of thing could be really good. I also saw someone post, they brought in, like, the kid's bike in front of the TV and put the training wheels, like, on top of tennis shoes or something. So the back wheel is off the ground. And the kid is just, like, it's like a stationary bike for kids. It's just pedaling. And the back wheels go in. And, like, on the TV was, I don't know, a, you know, virtual image of a bike path or something. So.
But wait, Shauna.
Yeah.
There is one major thing you purchased that I know about that you have not talked about yet.
I know. I'm slightly embarrassed of this.
I think we should take a quick break and come back and hear about this monster purchase.
Okay, let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back, and I want the world to know, Shauna, what did you recently buy to help your kids get more exercise?
I'm slightly embarrassed by this. I made this purchase on an impulse one night. It was like $50 off on Amazon. I was like, that's a great deal. This is great. Buy it. I bought the girls a bounce house that is
like yeah, okay. How big is it?
It's a like a full-on bounce house. It's like 12 feet by 9 feet. And my intention was like, it's hot outside, so I'll just blow it up in my house. I have a big room.
You do have a very big living room.
Uh-huh. I mean, we scooch stuff all to the sides and stuff, but once we do that, it's great. It fits perfectly. And now I own a bounce house that lives in my living room. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. And as loud as fuck, like this freaking generator thing is like, rrr! I mean, it sounds like we're in a warehouse.
Oh my God.
It's great. Honestly, though, I'm so happy I made this purchase because the kids, both of them, love it. They go wild in there. Elle comes out all sweaty. The bounce house has a slide that comes out of it. That is key because it's really fun. The front is open and it's a big slide. So it's more than just bouncing, right? It's bouncing, sliding, rolling down this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it not fit in your backyard?
You know, it might. And if when the weather's cooler, I probably would try it out there. Uh-huh. Or maybe even in the front yard and really drive my neighbors crazy. But yeah, for the most part, it's just cooler inside and then it won't get dirty and stuff like that.
Oh my God, that is an amazing amount of toys. They must be living their best life right now.
Oh, they are. But you know, that leads me to the other thing I'm freaking out about, which is, am I spoiling them rotten? I mean, they've never gotten so many random gifts in their short little lives. And here I am like, oh, it's another day. Here's a bounce house. Here's a panda that sprinkles water. I'm just like, but then it's like that thing. It's like the coronavirus is making me do it. The pandemic, you know, we're just stuck. But I don't know. Am I spoiling them?
I would say no. I mean, I think that it's an unusual time and everything's up in the air. They don't get to see their friends. They don't get to do anything that they normally do. So you're trying to make this time special, right? You know, it's not business as usual. And I think that I'm sure you will still teach them the importance of humility and that not everyone can have a bounce house in their living room.
I know. I will say Elle has gotten to the point where she'll randomly be like, I want a present. I haven't gotten a present recently. I'm like, calm down.
Yeah.
you've gotten plenty. So yeah, I'm definitely trying to balance it out with like, no toys today.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure they'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. So,
well, yeah, your kids are living my childhood dream, basically.
I know, right? You know, my childhood dream was fulfilled in a way because we had access to a pool, like in our little neighborhood HOA.
Oh, yeah.
There was a pool. And like, I just lived in the pool. Like, I loved that. And I want that now. I think we've talked about this before. And like, I don't have that for them. I can't give them that. So I'm like, how can I fill in the gap? Bounce house.
I know. We had a pool growing up and it was the same, just in the pool all summer, all summer long. And even not in the summer because I lived in Fresno and it's hot for a lot of the year. But we don't have that. I did do a Zoom like happy hour drinks with one of our friends recently. And during the call, they were like, oh, you guys can come swim in our pool anytime. And we were like, now?
That's amazing.
So we're trying to figure out the amount of time we can wait, you know, before it, you know, it's like, if we wait a week, does it seem like not too eager? Because I'm just like, how many times a week can we go?
Can we get penciled in recurring visits?
Because they both work from home all day and they don't get to use it. And they're like, yeah, like, we'll just be inside. You come in through the side gate. We'll wave to each other and you just have fun in the pool. And I was like,
oh my God, I need a friend like this.
Right. So we're pretty excited about that. We need to take advantage. It just feels weird. Also, like, they're better friends with Corey. So, like, I don't really want to go without Corey. And we're switching days. So, you know, I have to figure it's you don't want to abuse the friendship.
Yes.
But I am certainly going to take them up on that because
that's so great. Yeah. I learned recently that there's a service called, I think, Swimply, where it's basically like Airbnb for your pool, like people who own a pool. Like, I could rent someone's pool just like this, but I don't know them and I pay them, you know, like, I don't know, $40 an hour.
I've looked into that too and like really strongly considered it.
Yeah, I might have to do that because Elle loves swimming more than anything, probably. early in life. And yeah, she's not getting to do any of it this summer.
Yeah, Swimply. I think you're right. Like Simply, but Swimply. It's a genius idea. Like, I wish someone had thought of that sooner. I could have used that for years.
Yeah, Swimply. It's great. I love that idea. So I might have to try that too.
Awesome. Well, I am glad. I think that, you know, it may seem excessive, but I think your kids are really benefiting from all the effort you're putting into helping them get their exercise.
Oh, so, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That feels good to hear. I feel like I'm just working real hard at trying to get them exercise, fun, arts and crafts, you know, mm-hmm. every single day during this thing. And I often feel exhausted. So thank you for saying that.
Yes, you're doing great.
Thanks. All right. Why don't we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Let's do it. All right, so we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Yay.
Yay. And this week, Cece discovered this little bike that we have in our garage. It's something I bought for Elle when she was two for her second mm-hmm. birthday. And it's kind of, you know what like a balance bike is that little
yeah.
kids,
uh-huh.
like, yeah, it doesn't have pedals or anything, it has two wheels, but this thing has like one front wheel and two back wheels.
Okay.
But no pedals. It's just kind of like a little push balance bike for mm-hmm. the youngest of kids. And it has a handlebar so they can steer and everything. And it is the perfect size for Cece. It's so freaking adorable. And so now, sometimes in the morning, I mentioned earlier that I got like a actual bike with training wheels for Elle. It's
yeah.
like, okay, it's time to go for a bike ride. And it's like, bike. And so excited, right? Goes out, goes to the garage. She like wants to ride this little pink bike. And we have an extra helmet of Elle's from when she was younger. And so Cece, we put this helmet on her and it's just so cute and hilarious, like to see her tiny little body in this gigantic helmet and trying to ride this little bike. And she has to like basically put both feet on the ground and push them, right? Push her
okay.
feet to get the momentum for the bike going.
Yeah.
And she's just not quite that coordinated yet. So she'll push, and then be like, and then she stands up and holds the bike with her hands and then just walks along with the bike and like walks around the cul-de-sac like that. And like, that's her idea of going for a bike ride.
I mean, super cute.
It is so cute. And it just delights me to no end to see her doing that. And it's fun. I don't know. That's really all there is to it. It's just fun and cute and I'll have to share some video of her doing her
yeah,
little
for sure.
riding. Maybe it's a scooter. I don't know if you would call it a scooter or a bike or what. But
no, it's because a scooter is like a platform you stand on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called. I don't know.
We have like a four-legged one. It's not like a – it's so hard to know what it's like called.
Mm-hmm.
My mom got it for my toddler when he was a baby
mm-hmm.
and he's not that interested in it. He'll like get on it and then just get off of it
mm-hmm.
and so I thought, but he's obsessed with bikes. Like if we go to the park and someone rides by on a bike, he turns and chases them yelling bike-a,
mm-hmm.
right
mm-hmm.
obsessed. And so I put on his little like wish list, his Amazon wish list that we give to friends and family if they're like, I want to get something for the baby. I'm like, here you go. Here's
yeah.
what he wants. I put one of those Strider bikes, you know, uh-huh. the actual like two-wheeled mini bikes that don't have pedals on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a family friend actually got it for him. She had forgotten to get him something for him when he was newborn. So she's like, I'm going to get him this.
Aww.
And it's so funny. We brought it home and he was like, he saw the box and he was like, bike-a.
Ah.
He saw, at another time, he saw the instructions to put it together just sitting on our bedside table
mm-hmm.
and was like, bike-a, because there are a bunch of pictures of bikes on it. We took him out to go on his first little ride on it, and he's looking at it, and he's like, bike-a. And then when we put him on top of it, he starts, like, crying.
Oh, no.
He's not liking it, but the whole time, So, like, we're trying to show him how to walk with it, and he's, like, whimpering, and he's going, bike, bike, bike.
Aww.
So he's not, like, he doesn't know what to do with it yet. He's a little young. I think they say, like, starting at 18 months. So we're going to keep working on it. But, like, I couldn't help but laugh because he was just, like, crying through. Like, he was excited. He was like, bike, bike. But he was so, like, scared.
He probably had no idea that that's what he was supposed to do with a bike. Like, to him, a bike is just a thing that whizzes by and he can watch it. And it looks really cool. And he's like, wait a minute. I'm supposed to do that? Ah.
That's funny. Yeah, that's true. Oh,
cuteness. All right. I don't know if you guys have a helmet for him, but a baby or a small toddler in a helmet is just, like, literally the cutest thing in the world.
Got one, and I, like, it doesn't really seem to fit on his head right. It's like too high up, if that makes sense. Like, it's not really, like, covering his head, but it's not too small.
Does it adjust in the back? Most of them have a little wheel that adjusts.
Yeah, but when we make it bigger, it's like it doesn't stay on his head. I don't know. I have to figure it out.
Okay.
It might just be a user error situation, but possibly. It hasn't been a big issue considering he takes two steps crying and then wants to get off of it. So.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, what do you have for us this week?
I have a BFP as well. And mine is this guy whose name is Carl Johnson.
Oh, okay.
And he's a silhouette artist.
Ooh.
I discovered him because he was supposed to be doing a in-person event at, like, the Pottery Barn Kids in Pasadena back in March or something. And back in, like, January, I signed up to get a slot for his, like, in-person events. And then, of course, COVID hit and he had to cancel. And he started doing virtual events instead, you get on Zoom and he looks at your kid and cuts a hand-cut silhouette out of them as they're sitting there. And they are so good. It's such an impressive skill. So you can actually find him. His name is Carl Johnson. He goes by Cut Arts, C-U-T Arts. Makes sense. He's cutting things out. So you can find him at Instagram, at Cut Arts or cutarts.com. But so we did our little session and it was so fun. He was super nice. And he just, like, really quick, zip, 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 cut out a silhouette. And it's $30 for, like, the live in-person event, which I think is, you know, it makes a really cute little gift. And that includes shipping. And it looks just like my toddler. Like, it's shocking how much it looks like him. And it's really interesting. If you go to his Instagram, he has videos of himself of doing the silhouettes. Super mesmerizing to watch.
Does he use, like, an X-Acto knife or scissors or what?
He uses scissors. He, like, holds a piece of paper and just goes zip, 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 zip with the scissors.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. And one of the things that he has on his website that's really interesting is that he only has eyesight in one eye. And he thinks that's what makes him so good at cutting silhouettes because he doesn't have the depth perception that other people have. So he automatically sort of just has that 2D perspective. That he thinks makes it easier for him to do.
Right.
So it's like my toddler was moving around and stuff. He's like, oh, it doesn't matter if they move, you know, just let him do what he does. I'll have to post a picture of the silhouette next to my toddler. If I can get my toddler to sit still long enough to get his silhouette next to the silhouette. But we got two, so we could give one away as a gift. And yeah.
That's so really great. I'll be really looking forward to getting that in the mail. Thank you.
Yeah. And I was just going to make it a BFP, not just because it was cool, but because he's doing these Zoom things. So, like, anywhere in the country can get it done. So
cool.
So if you need a little gift, like a birthday present for your partner or a grandparent, this is a great little gift. And they're really cute.
Aw, so cute. Can't wait to see it.
I think that's our show, though.
Yeah, I think it is. Listeners, do you have any OMG I'm freaking outs, any BFPs, BFNs you want to share with us? We would love to hear from you. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
Yeah, we want to know if you've ever had a bug in your ear.
Please let us know. Please, please, please.
Find us at BFP Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also find us on our website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, or our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so answer the two membership questions, and I will let you in, and you can join in on all our amazing conversations we're having in there. Or you can send us an email or a voice memo to contact@makethatpositivepodcast.com.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your pregnant friends, your friends who are trying to conceive, or new parents, let them know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.